BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
You know, for some reason, I like the older program. Maybe it's because of my age and I grew up with the original Hawaii Five-0. Hour two of the Tim Meisberg Show. Brian in for Tim today. Tim is back on Monday. Just needs a couple of days to get himself together, as they like to say. 508-996-0500. We've talked about a couple of things. One being that the public utilities company here in the Commonwealth has laid the law down for the utility companies, and they've told them, you got to lower these gas bills. And so my guess is that gas bills will start to come down. But you know what? We're going into March. And if you've had gas for any period of time, you know that your March bill isn't anything compared to your December bill, your January bill, or your February bill. All right, let's hear from you. 508-996-0500 to get onto the program. Hello.
Hey, good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
Did you get to talk to Dan O?
No, I didn't talk to...
And McGarrett?
No.
You know that...
Neither of them.
The original Hawaii Five-0 went on from 1968, went on for 12 years. I think
it
was
81
or 82.
Wow, really?
At the time, it was one of the longest running TV shows.
I did not know that. I mean, I thought it was a great show. I just stopped watching it after a while. You know what I did? Because it was on Friday nights.
Yeah, I loved watching it, Brian, but I didn't care for the reboot.
No, I think I feel the same way about most reboots.
You were talking about Eversource?
Yes.
So 30% of what we're paying went up because of mandates, the climate change initiative legislation, thanks to our delegation and Governor Healey. And so it went up. Your bill up went up 30% or more, and your delivery charge went up 3 times what you're paying in usage. But the decrease is minimal. You're only going to see a 5% decrease in your bill. That's it.
Well, I hear you, but what I think is really going to happen is you might see a little off right now, but when we get into June, July, August, and September, the utility company is going to make up for what they lost during the winter months, excuse me, really 2 months, and tack it on to the end. So what's going to happen is you're going to end up paying more during those summer months.
Right, to offset what you're using in the winter.
Bingo.
So you're basically not seeing any savings.
Hello?
5% is peanuts, and it's just being shifted around. We could have bought electricity from Canada cheap from Niagara Falls, and she said, no, we can't do that because we got to fill the pockets of these, the wind, renewable energies, solar and wind. We could add a lot more natural gas being piped in here, but she don't want to do that either. And the other Democrats, because they want to save the planet from global cooling. It's been one of the coldest in over, 40 years?
What'd you call it, global cooling?
Yeah, you remember that Time magazine story, I think it was in 1978. We're supposed to be a block of ice by now. You can walk to Europe over the Atlantic.
Well, I like to say it like this. Climate change, they don't lose because the climate is always changing one way or the other.
You got it. Yeah, so we're going to get a 5% decrease. Thank you, Maura Healey. We appreciate it.
Oh, well, look, you can really thank her in November 2026 by voting for her.
No, I don't. I didn't make that mistake. You know, I know Chris McCarthy voted. I don't know what he was thinking that day. Maybe he had, you know, a couple of Jack Daniels. I don't know. But I ain't going to vote for her.
Well, maybe he needs a couple more.
Probably. Because, you know, elections have consequences below. But believe me, we're feeling that right now.
So I hear, and I don't disagree. I just don't know how much Maura Healey really feels it, really knows about it.
You know what my opinion on it? She don't give a darn anyway. She don't care. Most of the time she's in Florida with her mistress anyway.
Her mistress?
Yeah, her secretary.
When
she was attorney general, her secretary was married with kids, and then they went on secret rendezvous.
So it's my understanding that Maura Healey used to be in a relationship. I think they were actually married to someone who's now on the Supreme Judicial Court. That person was on an appeals court prior to that.
And that was what, the one she was with before?
Yes.
Or the one now?
The one she was with before.
And that's when she was using the computers paid by the taxpayer to look for, new girlfriends on the taxpayer dime as attorney general.
I don't know about that. Where did you get that one from?
That was on Howie Carr.
Oh, must be true.
You know what I'm saying? That was back. That was circulating. And this was all coming out when she was running for governor. You know,
and she won in a almost landslide. So you can tell how well that went over.
If the elections weren't rigged, because how is it that right on 8 o'clock on the dot, without checking the votes, counting and certifying, I won. I mean, I remember watching a Boston TV station.
Well, now wait a minute. Didn't Donald Trump do the same thing? I already have the votes. He was telling you he was going to win, and then he told you that he won. So, if he can do it, she can do it. I pity the fools who would vote for either of them.
All right, Brian.
All right, man.
Good talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too. 508-996-0500. The Trump administration yesterday afternoon ended the extension of Haitians' temporary protected status. It is estimated that some 500,000 Haitians are going to lose their temporary status here in the United States. I'm not going to really get into the X's and O's because I'm sure there are people that can give me several reasons why they need to go. As I could sit here and give you similar reasons why they should stay. But here is something that I do know about. I do know that Haiti has gone through several earthquakes since the big one in 2010. I do know that they've gone through hurricanes and floods since 2010 and as recently as the 2020s. I do know that the former president of Haiti left Haiti last year because of violence and unrest that overthrew his government. And there seems, this I don't know for sure, but there seems to be evidence that the United States was behind part of that coup that got that president out of there. Whether or not the United States was behind that, let me stop. If the United States was behind the coup, then there should be no question as to whether or not these Haitian refugees that left prior to, let's say, June of 2024 should be allowed to stay. Under the pretense that the United States wasn't behind it. Then why do we have an order, courtesy of the same president of the United States, that is rescinding the temporary status for Haitians, greenlighting, letting white South Africans come to the United States when there is no turmoil going on over there, where there is no natural disaster going on in South Africa? I come back as, you know, if it's good for one, it should be good for the other. Or if it's bad for one, it should be bad for the other. In this particular, and I don't know, there's a definite color difference here between the folks from Haiti who are now have a choice of trying to stick it out here and not getting caught, or going back to Haiti with the very uncertain future there, not so much because of the storms, but because of the fact that there's still violence going on over there. And how do I know that? Because I'm friendly with the family that just came here legally, just to let you know that, legally, and they're telling me all kinds of stories about not only what was going on while they were there, but in their trip getting here to the United States. So, there isn't anything like that going on in South Africa. Yet, the president of the United States is opening up the door, and my guess, somewhere down the road, your pocketbook, for these South Africans to come here. If there's no place for refugees right now, where are the South Africans who are not homeless? Where are they going to stay? And don't you think they're going to get some kind of priority? They're getting priority right now. They're getting bumped over other Europeans that are trying to come here. You can say this is an Elon Musk thing. You could say whatever you want. To me, this is a part of what racism is all about. You don't know what's going on in Haiti. And to the point, I don't mean you personally, to the point that the United States could be causing the violence that led to the overthrow of another president from Haiti. And we certainly know there's the nation is ravaged. There are hardly any jobs. That is not the same problem that South Africa has. 508-996-0500. What say you?
How are you doing this morning?
Wanging.
Good subject. First, let me just say that as far as immigration, I really do believe that everybody should come to the country legally. And if you do happen to get here illegally and you commit any crimes, you should be booted out as soon as possible.
Sure. Well, that is what we normally do with folks who come here legally, who commit a crime during that residency period. They might do some time, but after they do the time, they're gone.
Well, that's exactly the way it should be. But, you know, color plays a big part of what's going on, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, people won't say that, but the ones that are true to you will say it. You know, a big part of America feels as though that it's being taken over by people of color. You know, and they're going to vote Democrat, and their ways of life will be compromised.
Now, hold on just a second, because I think you have hit on something that's very key. Mm-hmm. It's not so much the people of color part, but the part and the feeling that they're going to vote Democrat.
Right.
Why is there that feeling that they're going to vote Democrat?
Because they feel as though they're going to be old, you know. That if if a Democratic regime lets them in, down the road they're going to feel as though this is the party that has helped me get here. So this is who I'm going to stick with. Do you remember when the Cubans were coming and it was the same type of, you know, when I was growing up, they were sinking their boats in the water. They was doing the same thing to the Vietnamese. I guess it was as soon as you got on land, you was able to seek asylum, correct?
The Cubans, I don't know that to be the case with the Vietnamese. Oh, that's a long trip.
Well, when the Vietnamese came here, they came over here legally with green cards and stuff
like that. They were refugees.
They didn't want them here, and they just made their life a living hell, right? That's proof from Texas, et cetera, right? But the same thing happened when the Cubans were coming. And guess what? As soon as they got on their feet, two or three generations later, guess what they vote? Republican.
They vote both ways. Don't kid yourself. They vote both ways.
They don't vote Democratic at all. But you go to Florida, believe it. You know,
it depends on which Cubans in Florida you're talking about.
Okay, you tell me.
The European Cubans primarily do vote Republican. The Black Cubans, they're not voting Republican. But the point that I'm trying to make with all of this is, if you're worried about a group of people voting a particular way, why aren't you out there trying to convince them that the American way, doesn't matter if it's Republican, Democrat, Independent, is the best way? Capitalism is the best thing instead of socialist programs. I don't hear people saying anything about that. You know, we can sit on our butts and do nothing, like most people do, or you can get off your ass and get out there and try to do something. I'm not trying to point my finger at you, but that's the, you know, they're going to vote Democrat. Well, of course they are, because you're not doing anything to change it. The Democrats, I'll give them credit for this. When folks were coming in off the boats way back when, they went down to the docks when the person got their card and they were talking to them. They were letting them know this is what you should do. Republicans, I say this to the libertarians. That's what we should be doing, too. We should be teaching people the ways of the United States. But no, people are sitting on their butts doing nothing.
Well, you do get a point there, too. I agree with you there. I do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Just put that in the idiot status.
But, you know, I know so many people that don't know anything about, you know, the whole immigration thing. And they'll tell me straight out, you know, well, you know, these people are going to vote Democrat. This is why, you know, there's so much pressure on getting them out of here, blah, blah, blah. My personal opinion was too many people came too soon all at once, and it put so much stress on the United States, it really turned a lot of people off.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt. I think there are many reasons why people want to get these folks out of, and you brought up two of them already.
Right. And I am a Democrat, but I would never vote for Trump, but I do believe that they have a valid reason to feel that way. You know, I mean, I don't think they did a good enough job of keeping people, you know, I think Biden could have, even if he looked like he was keeping people out of the country, it would have helped them out a lot. You know, I think they just kind of let it get out of hand.
Gotcha, man. I got to tell you, though, Biden deported more people than Trump did.
I know, but it didn't work.
And we'll see. We'll see what. No, I mentioned this on the show last night. I know you can't hear me every time, and you probably don't want to hear me every time. But what's going on right now is a big charade. All right. They are the Trump administration. They're blowing this up. They're making this reality TV. What you're seeing, you're hearing a lot. We're getting people all the time. We're going to get even more people, making it sound good. But the numbers reflect something entirely different. You're looking at about 612. Going off the numbers from February 5th, 612 people arrested. that doesn't mean 612 people deported. Uh-oh. I'm seeing on the TV, and I also heard Phil Devitt talk about it. Looks like Stop and Shop is threatening to go on, the workers threatening to go on strike. You know what that means? We're going to end up paying even more at the grocery store. Well, maybe Maura Healey can jump in and talk to her grocery store commission to try to get the prices lowered. Let's go over to Studio 6 and 7 8. That's where Phil Devitt is right now.
Trump gets the legal okay to keep saying you're fired as the defense secretary signals major cuts ahead. UnitedHealthcare offering buyouts and a once-in-a-century reveal in Egypt.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A federal judge says President Trump's mass firings of government employees can continue for now. Multiple labor unions recently filed a lawsuit trying to block the administration's layoffs of thousands of probationary employees. On Thursday, the judge denied the bid, saying the federal court was not the appropriate avenue for the lawsuit. Despite the denial, the judge indicated he was sympathetic to the unions, saying many of Trump's executive orders caused disruption and even chaos in widespread quarters of American society. Trump administration is ending the temporary protected status of Haitian immigrants. Back in June, former President Biden announced Haitians would receive temporary protection due to the island's violent domestic turmoil. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem has announced it will end those protections. Most Americans are worried about the Department of Government Efficiency's cuts impacting programs like student financial aid and Social Security payments. In a new Reuters Ipsos poll, 58% of Americans said they're worried about delays to those payments. President Trump named tech billionaire Elon Musk to head the agency, but the White House noted earlier this week he's technically not part of the group. A court filing shows that Musk is considered an employee of the White House office. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is telling the military to prepare for major budget cuts. Mark Mayfield has the story.
Hegseth issued the memo Tuesday, one day before President Trump endorsed the House's budget plan, which includes a $100 million decrease in defense spending. Despite calling for an increase in defense budgets one week earlier, Hegseth has now ordered all military branches to create a plan that cuts 8% of their budget over the next 5 years. The only exception to the budget cuts will be for border security. I'm Mark Mayfield.
A Texas mother says her 11-year-old daughter died by suicide because she was bullied over her immigration status. Jocelyn Rojo Carranza of Gainesville, Texas, died earlier this month, and her mother says fellow students insulted her and claimed she was in the U.S. illegally. The mother said students said they'd call immigration so her parents would be taken away. She said she had no previous indication her daughter was being harassed by her classmates. An investigation is underway, but the school district won't say if it was aware Carranza was being bullied. UnitedHealthcare is offering some employees buyouts. Michael Kastner reports.
The offer comes amidst a turbulent year for the insurance company, which posted record revenue while dealing with a massive cyber attack and the murder of its CEO, Brian Thompson, in December. The buyouts are targeted at employees in the company's benefits operations unit. Those who decline the offer will either keep their jobs or get a comparable position. I'm Michael Kastner.
And a pharaoh's tomb has been discovered for the first time in more than a century. Egyptologists announced this week they found the tomb of Thutmose II, the last undiscovered royal tomb of the 18th Egyptian dynasty, dating to the 15th century BC. It was discovered by a British and Egyptian team near the city of Luxor in an area thought to contain the graves of royal women. But inside, they found the sign of a pharaoh. The pharaoh himself was found in the 1800s, but the original burial site had been unknown.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics with a win over the Philadelphia 76ers, 124-104. Home at TD Garden to play the New York Knicks on Sunday. Bruins have the floor first. Boston home to play the Anaheim Ducks at TD Garden on Saturday night.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Bright and breezy for your Friday here on the South Coast. A high getting up to about 34 degrees. On Saturday, mostly sunny. Again, a high near 35. On Sunday, partly cloudy, a little bit warmer, but not much. A high of 41. Same for Monday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
On November 13th, Felix Unger was asked to remove himself from his place of residence. That request came from his wife. Deep down, he knew she was right, but he also knew that someday he would return to her. With nowhere else to go, he appeared at the home of his friend Oscar Madison. Several years earlier, Madison's wife had thrown him out, requesting that he never return. Can two divorced men share an apartment without driving each other crazy?
Welcome back to the Tim Weisberg Show. Brian sitting in for Tim today. We expect Tim back on Monday. I will be back tonight for Freedom Fools starting at 6. And then tomorrow morning, Brian's Beat at 7 a.m. 508-996-0500. If I can go back to this story before we move on to the next one about the Trump administration ending the temporary protected status for Haitians that are here in the United States. Now, when President Biden extended the temporary status, he extended it for the Haitians that arrived in the United States on or before June 3rd of last year to help provide humanitarian relief. We also heard in the news with Phil Devitt about the fact that not only is Haiti trying to recover from natural disasters, there's been a lot of violence that's been going on over there, enough violence that the past president was forced to hightail it out of there. Now, if you think it's time to send the Haitians back, good Haitians, bad Haitians, indifferent Haitians back, then please explain to me why it is okay to have folks from South Africa, Afrikaners, as they are known, to come here to the United States. Why is it that there is no political strife going on in South Africa? There's no abnormal violence against a group of people in South Africa. There's no known natural disaster that's going on in South Africa. So why is it okay for the president to say, okay, well, we're going to open up our doors and let these Afrikaners come to the United States, and then basically a week and a half later, he's saying bye-bye to a bunch of Haitians? Something just isn't right. I can put my finger on it, but can you? Can you? Do you see? Yeah, there's a little problem. Yeah, how do you get by this, Mr. President? How you doing it this time? We don't want to think that you're doing something really wrong here. But that's what's happening. It's right here in front of your face. But you know what? A lot of people are just going to turn a blind eye. And they're going to say, well, justice is blind. Well, I guess it is. Which leads to yet another tale of what's going on here. I think it's pretty crazy, quite frankly, that that this is going on. But who am I really to make that decision? The other day, I got to preface this before I just come out and state it. The other day, the president was talking about DOGE and cuts that are going to be happening to the Department of Defense. And we have also talked and we've heard the president and many others within his cabinet talking about ending DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Let me just raise my hand right now. I have always been against DEI type programs and staffing. So I'm in that camp. I know a lot of people listening to this show and folks that listen to this station agree with me. Do you think that DEI leads to preferential treatment for a group or class of people, whether it's a racial group, a gender group, a sexual orientation type of group? Do you think that DEI seems to cater to those preferences? And there's a reason for my madness here. Because I know you do, because otherwise you wouldn't want to get rid of DEI programs. But sometimes you have to admit it. All right, and I'm fine. I admit it. I don't think that we should have these programs. I think it's a bigger government program when it happens within government, and it also forces the private sector to go out and hire people to do what the government is basically pitching. All right, that's just one thing. But if you believe that DEI leads to preferential treatment, then let me ask you about a group that seems to get preferential treatment, and you might consider them deserving. There was a time, I'm not quite sure it still happens today, probably does, but I'm not going to put my bottom dollar on this, but there was a time that a certain group of people got preference for jobs at the Postal Service. There are a group of people that get preference on government jobs. They are military veterans. I know they served our country, and I'm glad that they did. But if you are against diversity, equity, and inclusion, if you believe that it leads to preferential treatment, isn't the Postal Service, I'm going to use them as the poster boy in this particular case, aren't they giving preferential treatment to folks who served in the military? What about federal agencies? I'm not talking about working for the Department of Defense. Federal agencies, don't they give preferences to people who served in the military? We never really complain about that, and I'm not trying to complain about it. But you have to admit, it's a preferential treatment. You might say, well, they earned it. So does that mean anybody that goes into the military or anybody that serves in public service for the governments, they should also get preferential treatment? I know this is something that you probably never considered, but it's right there in front of your face. It's a preferential treatment to give military personnel. And believe me, I like our military personnel, but it is a preferential treatment to give them a postal service or civil service type position. If you'd like to debate this, 508-996-0500. I know I'm catching you chewing your gum right now and you're saying, oops, I better have another sip of coffee. The Senator Markey commentary coming from a program he was on Channel 10 WJAR in Providence the other day. So, is it a preferential treatment when a military person comes out of the military, goes and gets a degree in education, and that person gets a job over another person, another qualified person, maybe even more qualified, for a teaching position, let's say in Fairhaven schools? Wouldn't that be a preferential treatment? 508-996-0500. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Not really, but okay. Hello.
Hello. So no, I'm not going to say anything about teachers, anybody that's going to get hired for any other kind of job. I'm just going to speak about you. Well, first of all, anybody in the educational that gets hired, there's a lot of substitute teachers that don't have the credentials, but these individuals can become a substitute teacher. So a lot of substitute teachers end up becoming real teachers. So that's something
that's fair.
Yeah, thank you. But as far as the veterans go, listen, you can't get more America than the post office. Post office is like, that is so American. Cowboys, Indians, getting that meal, a Pony Express, and then Stagecoach, and then the train and whatnot. The post office is the most, honest, my mailman. This is why I am coming at you a little bit like this. But also, I do want to bring you back to the Pony Express. It's the most American thing we have. It's Americana. You know, it's our apple
pie. So you don't think it should be cut?
The post office, look, my husband was a mailman when he came out. He didn't become a mailman right away. He did various things, but he knew that being a mail carrier, it was for him. And it was just, it was like, it was a no-brainer.
So when my father got out of the military, he ended up being a letter carrier himself. Postman back in those days. Preferential treatment because he was in the military.
No, that's not true.
No?
No. And
other
and
people couldn't get that job, but if you served in the military,
so you're
you
saying
could.
When you came out of Vietnam.
No, I'm saying when he came out of World War II.
I don't know. I just think that's a very frustrating thing.
It's frustrating. It is frustrating. It doesn't mean it's not a preferential treatment.
Okay, but so you're saying now the military personnel that came out of Afghanistan are all mail carriers?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all.
You're saying they got preferential treatment.
I say they, in many positions,
so what
they
war,
do.
What generation are you talking about?
I think it still goes on today, especially within government type service, civil service positions.
Well, I do like the DEI. I mean, I don't like it. I'm glad it's being expelled. And me and you talked.
I thought you just said you liked it.
No, but I'm saying you cannot say that that's the way it is for the Postal Service employees that Vietnam veterans or any war veteran is getting peripheral treatment to be hired. This is where I'm disagreeing with you. Okay. And then, like, remember we were talking about the Doge? I think we should have a Doge. You said the other, I don't know what day it was, what show. You've been working like crazy for a long while now. Good for you.
Because I'm crazy.
No,
you're I'm crazy usually the idiot, dollar. But that's okay.
No, you like that dollar. Go, no.
No, it's not, it's not the dollar. It's the fun.
You do like getting up that early and coming in work?
I used to, for about 20 years, I was a morning host. So, yeah, getting up mornings is never a problem. Huh?
On this station?
No. In Boston and in California.
Well, I know you've got your California show, but I still can't find it.
That's okay. I'll show it to you one of these days. Got to wrap it up, though.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks.
I appreciate the call. 508-996-0500. We're getting to the top of the hour. ABC is going to let us know what they want us to know after this break. Whew, getting a little vicious out there. Senator Markey on WJAR 10 the other day making the comment about Doge. 23 in Fairhaven, 22 in Dartmouth, 23 in New Bedford. ABC is going to tell us what they want us to know at the top of the hour. And then we'll take your calls.